The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Pete and Steve, who are in French France. Are you in the French part?
Yes, that's right, yes. Oh. Down here in the part.
How are you, what are you doing there together? You've run away from the shambles that is the UK.
Yep, that's it.
Well, they got Brexit done, didn't they?
They got Brexit done.
I don't know where Paddy is, but yeah, you're in France, so sort of, you know, how long have you been there for, Pete now? Weeks, isn't it?
No, I've been here 2 weeks. Steve's just been here a week.
Why are you, I'm going home today.
You're going home today?
Yeah.
Oh, have you had a good time?
Yeah, it's been lovely.
It's been lovely. Yeah. Yes, yeah. So what have you been up to then? Have you been working, Pete?
Yeah, mostly working.
And what's Steve been doing while you've been working?
Working.
He seems to have some work going on. I didn't realise.
Really? What do you mean? How can you work in France, Steve? You film stuff, don't you, and then edit it?
I'd be filming Pete.
Yeah, make it.
Walking around filming random people.
Just a fly on the wall documentary on Pete doing work. This is Pete doing work. Steve, can you go away, please? I'm trying to work. I'm on a call. There he is. He's very busy on a call. Yeah, Steve, leave, please. He's very, very busy, as you can see.
Yeah. And then invoice me.
Yeah, exactly. You got a cheek, Steve. I told you to stop. How else am I going to pay for this holiday? Do you know what? I texted yesterday early in the morning, and this seemed a bit preemptive of me. I texted on Twitter. I said, "Will Truss and Kwarteng still be in their positions by Christmas?" And that seemed like pretty early. I think, yeah, I'm jumping the gun a bit here. And now it seems I should have said by Halloween, shouldn't I? Really, not Christmas. Kwarteng was gone, and it's nuts, really, because he was in America, in the United States of America. That's where he was, and he obviously knew the day before, didn't he? You know, and I just thinking that flight home must have been very long for him. Wasn't it? Just thinking about getting sacked and oh my god, get off this press everywhere. Oh, yeah. I'm the shortest chancellor ever in the history. Apart from the other guy, the other chancellor who was shorter than him died. That's not a good record, is it? He's like, he died of a heart attack, the other guy. Anyway, but I don't know about the mini budget, but he's probably hitting the mini bar. Yeah, but thing is, right, that was a mini budget. Imagine if they'd gone for the full-blown maxi budget. Oh, my word. We wouldn't have anything left. It's nuts, isn't it? Absolutely. Yeah. But I just think, if you tried, right, if you come up with a policy that tried to wreck the economy, but you had to do it subtly, because you can't go full-blown extreme, because people wouldn't get it, you wouldn't get it past people. But it has to be quite subtle, but wreck the economy. You can't just say, right, I'm going to just chuck a nuclear bomb on the London Stock Exchange, because that's too obvious, because you know, we're not agreeing with that. It's a silly policy. But this one, it's quite good. It's quite subtle, because it's done, you know. In fact, do you know what? The ironic thing is, it's called a growth policy, but it's very anti-growth, I think. It's going to, and in fact, if you look at it, if you really want to bring inflation down, this is going to do it. It's going to slow the economy down. People can't get mortgages. They can't get loans. They're not going to, you know, expand their businesses via debt in any way because it's too expensive now. So what she's actually done, it's a genius thing. If she's actually meant to help, you know, bring down inflation, that's what she's done pretty much because people can't afford houses anymore. That's the way it is, isn't it?
And now we've got a Chancellor Hunt.
Yeah, oh, my word. I thought we were going to get someone good, didn't you? I thought maybe, but I suppose, you know, with this government, they can't get someone good. It's like, who's next? Jeremy Hunt.
Chancellor.
Yeah, he was Foreign Secretary, wasn't he?
He was Health Secretary.
Health Secretary.
Yeah. Then he went for the Premiership. He's gone for the Premiership job twice. You know, he's like, he really is ambitious. And he's almost a cyborg, isn't he? I mean, look at him. Like her yesterday. Did you hear yesterday? I made the decision. And she kept saying, I've made the decision, just repeating herself in the press conference. I thought, love, you're not decisive. You can't even pick which journalist to ask a question from. Did you see her that? Did you see that? That was really embarrassing. She's looking around the room going, is Colin here? No, oh, okay. Did you watch that press conference?
No.
That it was embarrassing. At the end, she took about three questions. First of all, from the Telegraph, then the Sun, another Tory paper, Then Peston, who's a pest, isn't it, from ITV. And that was it. Yeah. But literally, she said, right, I'll take some questions now. And she went, and she's looking around the room.
Good.
Well, yeah, but someone on Twitter, I thought it was hilarious, clipped it and said, this is me on a Friday night getting to the front of the kebab queue and not deciding what to have. it was like that. And it's very odd. I don't know what's going on. I mean, how can they get it so wrong? And I just think if on it, there's been some terrible companies listed on AIM, you know, awful. But if you had a company, right, which CEO is Liz Truss and the CFO is Kwasi Kwarteng, it would be probably the worst company on AIM has ever seen. It's, you know, he would not invest in it. It'd be one of the stocks that people whinge about all the time, just constantly doing placings, getting nothing done, no progress, you know, and in the end, it'd be delisted. You wouldn't have a PLC company like that shambles of a group of people running it. It just wouldn't get away. It wouldn't happen. And but they're running the country. It just doesn't make any sense to me, does it? You know?
It's an incredible level of arrogance, isn't it? I mean, they didn't seek advice on their policies. And, you know, they just charged on ahead and thought, went for the soundbite politics of, like, you know, of vote winning or trying to please the people. But it's like, yeah, no, you've got to think about your fiscal policy. But, yeah.
Megan, yes.
Glad I didn't vote for them.
Oh, Paddy's here.
Paddy's in.
Yeah, Megan thought she
had nothing to do with me.
Yeah, Megan said yesterday, she saw that press conference and said, it's my medium fiscal policy. And Megan said, we don't care about your physical policy. I said, it's not a physical policy, Meg. She said, isn't it? No, I've got a good physical, medium term physical policy. I can do 20 sit ups in the morning. You know, I walk the dog. That's my physical policy. But no, it's fiscal. But no, it's nuts. I come up with three analogies to this, right? What they're doing. I thought, right. Three. I've seen walking the dog. And I find walking the dog a bit cathartic, but like a shower. It gives you some ideas and thoughts. But which of these is most apt,
any
right?
Good.
Yeah, which of these is most apt for the what's happening at the moment? I thought of a fireman team. You know, you all rush out to a fire, right? And one of you is a secret arsonist, you know, because you've always loved fire, but you haven't told the rest of the crew. So they all get out, you know, try and put the house spraying water on the house at the front there, and you go on the back with a manic smile, laughing your head off, just, you know, lighting more fire in the back of the house, you know, because that's what the Bank of England, she's doing the opposite thing, pretty much. The Bank of England is trying to say, we're trying to slow growth, Liz. What are you trying to do? And they're doing the opposite thing. So that's one. The second one I came up with was the household where the wife looks at their bank balances and says, Jeff, we're going to have to start saving some money. We're spending too much money. We really are. So, okay. We're going to start this week then. Just cut back a bit. And so what happens is you go out to that and then, you know, she checks Jan, for example, is the wife, checks the bank statement, said, what's, Jan, what are you doing? Jeff, what's going on? You're spending money. Yeah. No, I'm spending. Yeah. Because I noticed you were saving. She says, no, I'm saving because we need to save. Yeah, there was a bit more money in the account, so I'm saving, I'm spending a bit more. No, we need to save money. Oh, okay. So we have to save more. Oh, okay. And then the week after, he comes back. And
sometimes the beauty of analogies is that they're quick, isn't it? Like, that's the...
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but... and also, Jeff said, he comes back the week after and says, Jeff, you're still spending. Yes, because you're saving more. So, they don't make any sense. The third one is a business, right? Literally, it's a shop. You are in debt. You're not doing very well. But you think, okay, what I'm going to do is you're selling stuff. But you're in debt. You're losing money month on month, right? And you say, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to lower my prices. Now get more people through the door. And I'm going to see the bank manager to up my debt. And the bank manager says, well, you can't, you're in debt. You can't borrow anymore. Yeah, but I've got a good plan to lower my prices to get more people buying. But that'll bring the margin down. You're making more of a loss. Yeah, but I get more people in because they're so cheap. But that's hope. You're hoping they will come in. You know, that's it. But I don't want to give you too much debt. In fact, I'm going to give you more debt. I'm going to rack up the interest rate like a crazy man. Okay, you do that. Doesn't matter. I'll still lower the prices. I'd advise you against this. You know, it's not going to work out. And it goes ahead anyway. That's the kind of thing they've done. They're hoping for more growth, but with less taxes. And they're going to borrow more to do it. So, in that kind of scenario,
Did Jeff from the second analogy go shopping in the shop in the third?
Yeah, he should do, shouldn't he? Yes. And yeah. Jeff, by the way, Jeff is actually the fireman, the arsonist fireman.
He's
got a range of issues, Jeff. And I'm surprised Jan is there. But going on CFO, right? Who would you prefer, Keir Starmer and Rachel Reeve, or Liz Truss now and Jeremy Hunt as CEO and CFO?
Oh, yeah, the Labour lot have got to have a go, haven't they?
Yeah,
Can they do any worse?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I come up with an analogy for the same. We are now, they are deep in doo-doo, in there, right? And it's almost like they can't go forward because that would make it worse. But it's almost, it's almost like saying you're on the edge of a forest and you know there's an animal in the forest could eat you alive, but chasing you from behind is another animal. Then which way do I go? Because I'm stuck here. I can't go. If we go back and get a new leader, it's looking really bad, isn't it?
Why are the ones chasing us animals?
Well, I don't know what animals here yet. Well, the press and the public. Because I thought, we've got to have a general election, full stop. We can't just stumble along now for another 2 years like this. It's ridiculous. So either that or they get a new leader. They can't just carry on.
Someone on Sky, I think, this week said he was a voter. He wasn't sure which way to go in the next election. And he was like, I'm not sure whether Labour... I don't know whether they've got enough experience to
experience?
What's been happening over the last, 10 years? The lot who are in charge clearly have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, because this lot, they've made a lot of mistakes, but they've got a lot of experience doing it.
Yeah.
They've really messed up. You couldn't mess up any further, but they've got a lot of experience. You know, that's the main thing. It's like you should trash the economy within three weeks. It's like, what? Yeah, but how does that work? Can't we? Isn't there some kind of facility where the public can say, we can't carry on now? We've literally got a 3-year-old driving a car down the motorway at full speed. How do you pull the car over, get an adult in charge? Because it's, that's the way it is, isn't it? How do you do that? Can't we do that?
I mean, there's a very long-winded way. Apparently Boris Johnson's about to give 7 sitting MPs seats in the House of Lords, which would trigger by-elections there. So that would get their they've got 30 seats ahead of Labour at the moment, I think. Or 30 seats ahead of the everyone else at the moment in Parliament. So that would get them down to about 30. You need to do that sort of petition thing, wouldn't you, to get rid of the 30 most marginal for the rest of them. Or it doesn't really matter at this stage, any of them, to be honest. You basically got to get 6,000 signatures in each constituency, and then that triggers a by-election. Okay. It doesn't seem undoable, but there's a lot of admin.
But listen, let's be honest, we've got to do it. You can't now have this maniac in charge, has no
we
idea
can't
what
trust
she's...
the Tory party to... What I keep on hearing is Tories saying that they don't want an election because they're afraid they're going to lose their jobs.
Yeah.
Which is
millions of people are going to lose their jobs. That's the thing.
It's an understandable reaction to this. If you're not likely to get another job after being an MP, then you're not going to want to lose your job quickly. But you're there to serve the country, right?
And the
idea that you're going to prolong the misery for another 2 years just because you can't be asked to go and get a job in Tesco, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's Turkey's voting for Christmas, isn't it?
Exactly. That's it. Turkey's voting. At this point, though, Turkey should have no say anymore because we've seen what they've done. And in fact, when it comes to Christmas, turkeys don't have any say. So,
Justin, why don't you lead a revolution?
Yeah, well, let's start here on the weekend podcast. Yeah, I mean, we don't do it every weekend, pretty much. But when we do, let's get it going.
Revolution.
Yeah. But the thing is, would you imply who would employ Kwarteng now? He's like, you gonna let that dust settle a bit. I mean, will people forget what he's done? Because he's probably thinking.
Steve needs an assistant.
Would you apply, Steve? Yeah, to your odd jobs and all that stuff. Because
he makes a cup of tea.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he could actually.
Steve thinks he's Howard from the Halifax, so he thinks he'll go back to that job.
Yeah, Howard. No, the thing is, you'd probably employ Howard before Kwarteng now.
He'd make a better chance.
Because at least Howard, he's a bit annoying, but he didn't mess up and have so little foresight as to what his policies would do. I mean, it's completely, and maybe hindsight's a wonderful thing, but I just, dreadful. I'd be more. But somebody said that, right? Now, the markets this week, I think, I don't know if I want to say this, but AIM has been trudging along, my stocks, trudging along sideways for a while, right? They haven't been having the big falls they had a couple months back. And I'm thinking, are we near the bottom? And even, the star performance, I think even my portfolio value went up this week. And and that largely down to XP Factory. But I've seen a couple of greens this week. So I don't know whether we're near the bottom. Do you know what I like, though? You've heard this week all the time, right? Well, the markets didn't like it. The markets, they've asked the markets. The markets didn't like that. No, let's see what the market thinks.
Yeah.
No, he's not saying anything, but he doesn't speak a lot. But he, you know, he actually, you know, gives his decision by actions, like we see with the bonds and stuff. They just sell off. I love that. It says reset the market. They get the opinion from the markets. Oh, will the markets like this? I don't know. Can someone give the markets a call, see if they like it or not? Because the markets speak, that's it. You know, there's no to and fro. No, like even Kwarteng, before he left, he said, I'm going nowhere. You are good. First of all, you're getting on a plane. That's the first lie. Secondly, you know you're getting sacked. So why are you lying? Even the last interview you had with journalists, you didn't tell the truth. Why didn't they just tell the truth? Like Liz, on the thing yesterday, why didn't you just say, why are you still Prime Minister? She just said, well, listen, we are making a hash of it, okay? And if we go backwards, it's like we're looking worse. I don't know. Whichever's the path with the least amount of crap in, that's the path we'll go down, because there's a lot of crap in both paths now. Either route we take, we're knackered. But we just thought, if I stay here for a little bit, it'll be less crap. Well, just tell the truth, you know? I'm not going anywhere, Carter. You are going somewhere. So tell the truth, for heaven's sake. Then the market will tell the truth. You know, it's no chat, no conversations, no obfuscation, just going around the truth and trying to say the wrong. The market will tell the truth. That's why people, well, will the market like it? No. The market say, no, we not like. we sell off and we make you bankrupt. Full stop. And, so that's it. So I always think the market, but looking at the market, have you noticed this week it's a bit more, you know, not as bad, it's a bit better this week in your portfolios, boys? Or have you not been looking at it?
Yeah, it definitely felt better at the tail end of the week. And, you know, we're back up to where we thought was a bottom a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, trouble is, the inflation in America, in the United States of America, didn't really come out well. You know, they were expecting a big dip there. 8.1% was the forecast for the year. Year-on-year inflation, it came in at 8.2%. So, largely, and look, the market has been selling off for weeks, right? Towards this figure, or at least 2 or 3 weeks, the market's gone down. So the market, you know, honestly, it's the best judge. Always ask the market. Yeah. Hello, Mr. Market. But this week, like I said, if you look at the XP Factory, right, it's now been up for 31% this week. 54% for the since the start of October, so it's really and that's the market. See, and the answer, I think there must have been a big seller in there selling away, and I think John Story's TR1 came up yesterday. So I don't know whether he's sold down, but someone said, "Oh, he's going to sell more." No, he's probably sold out because that's why the share price rallied. Because if you get a constant drip of sells going through, then the market makers are basically hammered. They've got to keep chucking out lower and lower and lower. Illiquid stocks, it's hard. They've got to find purchases, so they just take the price down. And then as soon as that, you know, downward pressure is released, it's like a spring. It just bounces back up. So we've gone from literally being super undervalued on XP Factory to now getting back to a bit of fair value here. But going forward, there's plenty more to come. Plenty more. Steve, when you walk past the, I don't know how often you go to town, really, Steve, in Cardiff, when you walk past the Boom Battle Bar, is it quite busy there?
I don't often walk past it because it's in a little arcade. Cool. Yeah, so. But generally, no, yeah. From
no, yeah.
From people, it is usually very busy, yes.
Yeah, it is, okay. No, yeah. Because if you look at it, right, that one site, right, did. Last 12 months, it did 4 million turnover, right? And that's with some lockdowns, wasn't it? I mean, how many lockdowns did we have last year? There was one in November, wasn't there? Was there one earlier on in the year as well? Oh, there was, wasn't it? In March.
Yeah. Was January.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Are you watching This England? Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, boys. You've got to watch that. It's the Boris Johnson. It's how the government reacted to during COVID. Kenneth Branagh's playing Boris Johnson. He looks a bit old. He's got obviously prosthetics on it. I didn't know it was Kenneth Branagh. And literally, I spoke to Russ Mould. He said, "That's Kenneth Branagh." I said, "Is he? I didn't know that." Yeah, but it's very good. And he's very good. But it's excellent. Paddy, you'll love it. It's on Sky Atlantic, I think. That's the trouble. Uh-huh. But it is worth watching. The chaos inside government is Boris is bumbling away with Carrie in the background, literally not really caring. And he gets dragged in. "What, really? What? I didn't know that. What are we doing then?" And then she rolled in front of the camera and I'm just, you know, right. we're going to have to lock down and saying the wrong things. It's brilliant. It is really good. But it's almost documentary style. And Dominic Cummings, such a maniac. Yeah, it's worth watching this England. But anyway, that was lockdowns. Cardiff, for example, did 4 million turnover right in 12 months. And that's with lockdowns. Right? They bought that. They acquired that XP factory. And that's just one site. Now, they did 8 million for the half year. That's a problem. It's like ridiculous. Where's it? What's it up from last year? It's up from, anyway, it's 589% increase from to 8.1 for the first half year. Now, if you look at that, Cardiff did 4 million for 12 months, right? It's about a 6,000 square foot site. Now, you say pretty easy 5 million without lockdown, especially when the lockdown was during the busy period of Christmas. Yeah. Now, if you look at Oxford Street, that's opening in November. That is 15,000 square feet. And it's in the centre of town, centre of London, Londonium. And so yeah, that's going to be busy on a regular basis. So those two together, easy. I mean, even if you say 5 million for that, those two together will do 10 million in revenue this year. That's amazing. That's more than the half year we just had. And the rollouts,
increase in bedroom energy and the rest of it. Parallel to that, will it? It won't be high, but it won't be as high as that growth potentially. So yes.
Say again.
Well, the increase in overhead won't mirror. It will be. Well, there will be an increase this year, won't there? But it won't be as big as the growth in revenue.
Yeah. Well, no. Did you see? I chatted to Richard this week on the podcast. Richard Harper.
Did you see that?
Yeah. And he was saying that we asked him about labour costs, energy costs. He said, we're not a largely, you know, energy-intensive business, really. We don't make stuff on site or anything like that. We don't produce stuff. Producers, you know, he said, okay, we've got games and stuff and electricity, but it's not a huge energy waste, so we deal with that. He said, nuts, isn't it? We have a sentiment of the news and all that stuff. He said, we haven't, as yet, been affected by any cost of living squeeze. We've seen no drop-off in footfall. And you realise the people who go to Boom Battle Bars and Escape Hunts, they're not going to be that fussed, are they? Because they're like 20 to 35-year-olds. Many of them will have mortgages, maybe. Some of them will be with their parents, whatever. And then, when I was 20 to 35, maybe not 35, but 20s, my main concern was going out and socialising. You know, that's what I liked the most. That, to me, was the most important thing of all. I didn't care about my costs. Did you? I just generally wanted to go out and have fun, didn't you?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And like you say, with their parents and don't even pay the bills, you know, they contribute perhaps, but
Go on.
Well, they've seen
just got to throw an axe, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes you just got to throw an axe and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Just socialise. Exactly. It's very important to youngsters, isn't it? Socialising. That's how you breed. So that's an important part of a human being. We're only here to sort of procreate and survive.
Future productivity, that's important.
Yeah. We're only here to survive and procreate. That's all we're here for, to procreate and survive, the extend the existence of human beings.
That's the real growth that we need to see.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that would be brilliant, wouldn't it? Right, we come up with the pro-growth plan. You have to have sex, unprotected sex, 10 times a week with various individuals. Same
consenting.
Thing.
Consenting.
Yeah, consenting, of course. Yes, Prime Minister, do they have to be consenting? Oh, yes, sorry, we missed that out. Yes, they do have to be consenting. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Hunt, can you put that in the policy that they have to be consenting? Okay. Yeah, yes, sir. But no, so Richard was saying, literally, it's going gangbusters. I don't want to sound arrogant and thing here and say it won't happen. There may not be a downturn, but we haven't seen anything yet. And if you look at where we are now, I said back in the start of 2021, all they had was 8 escape hunt sites. That's all they had, and some franchisees. If you look at the end of this year, so we've gone from 8, only 8, we go now at the end of this year, 23 escape hunt sites, 25 franchisees, 27 Boom Battle Bars. That's phenomenal growth. They are the fastest growing leisure company in the UK, ladies and gentlemen. And one of my investment clauses there, when I look through the filters, is does this company have a claim to fame? Any company you invest in does have a claim to fame. Is it the smallest, fastest, whatever? Do they have something, some kind of IP that's, you know, sets them apart? And being the fastest growing leisure company, experiential leather, that's another thing. No, experiential leather. Leisure, not leather.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's the next brand.
Paddy perked up then. Ooh, experiential leather. Ooh, I see.
Where's that branch?
Yeah, that should be a new branch somewhere. So they're growing very quickly. And Richard, we're not just opening for Sig Sight. They've got to be, you know, the areas where we're opening our high footfall centres. And already margins are hitting maturity very early on. In fact, Escape Hunt right now, 30% EBITDA margins was the box economics we planned on. We're now hitting 39%. And he said already Boom Battle Mars up there, 22, 23, 24% when we targeted 21.9 was the actual target. So they're getting it very quickly. But yeah, this, I mean, listen, I mean, this stock was hammered, but it's bouncing quickly. And no doubt it's, what, 25 million market cap or something. And literally, they're going to be doing that in revenue this year, up from literally, what was it, 7 million last year to 25 million. And beyond that, it's going to get faster, bigger, better, because it's going to chuck out more cash, more profits. It's this is going to be a stunner. If they get their sites, like if they get their 100 sites on Boomside, 50 on Escape Hunt, this company should be £2 a share. And where are we at the moment? Less than 20 pence. That there is our 10-bagger. There's your 10-bagger, boys.
I love a 10-bagger.
Yeah.
How much did you sell in the end?
Yeah, what?
How much of it did you sell in the end?
Yeah, are you still in it, Justin?
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm out. God. I still own a decent chunk, but it's funny, right?
So you had like a third of the company at one stage.
Yeah, I did. But my average is like 7 pence. And it went up to 40-odd pence. When you think about it, that's ridiculous not to take any profit. And I was a bit late in doing that, but I still hold a decent chunk that will, you know, do well for my... And in fact, if you look, right, there's a discussion in the WhatsApp group, not WhatsApp, the Discord, you know, share picker thing. Someone said, oh, John Story popped up again. Now, he dumped a lot of stock, but he didn't. I think he dumped a lot, but didn't know. But that worries me. I said, listen, never be worried about someone selling, a shareholder selling. It's personal circumstances. If you don't want that, we are in a stock market. Do you know what that means? The market is a buying and selling device. People buy, people sell. People are always going to sell. If you're concerned about people selling, don't get involved in the stock market. You know, get involved in something you can't buy and sell. That's it. What the most important thing is how the business is doing, beyond anything else. Is the business doing well? Is it improving? Yes, it is. Don't worry about who's selling, you know, unless it's like the CEO or CFO. And in fact, it's more important to look at who's buying. The last purchase, okay, of stock that was notified is the CFO, the money man. The money man, the man who knows the money, the guy who knows about valuations. He knows about all the money coming in, all the money going out. He knows about the opening rates. He knows about the margins. That's his job, to know how viable this is pretty much as a business. He bought stock. He is now the largest holder of stock on the board. That is a vote of confidence. And do you know where he bought at 13.25 pence? He bought some more at, which is a good buy looking back now, isn't it? It was going down when he bought it, but now it's gone back. Graham Bird. Watch the birdie. Watch the birdie. Keep your eye on the birdie. He's the man, isn't he, to look at? Because that was a good purchase, Graham. Well done, Graham. Very well done, Graham. That's very good. Very good purchase to Graham. But, that's important. Never be
so they've got to keep that communication flowing then, haven't they? Because against the backdrop of everyone assuming that leisure stocks are going to do badly, they need to keep on telling everyone, actually, we're doing all right. That flow of information needs to be regular.
Yes, yes. I mean, in fact, Richard this week did do three, as far as I'm aware, he did three interviews. He did with me and another guy and, where is it? Yeah, another guy.
Is this, one in the huge studio. Did he do the guy in the big studio?
I don't know if he did, but...
Who are they? They got that huge studio on top of that tower block in the city.
Oh, yeah, no, is that Proactive? Where they put
that virtual... amazing.
Yeah, what a view! Yeah,
the business rates on that must be huge, but fair play.
Apparently,
it's like
though,
the people's lair, isn't it?
Yeah, apparently, though, if you go in there, it's really cramped, small little basement in Victoria. Victoria Station. It's like you swing 200 miles up overlooking the City of London. So look at that. You're on like how are you? Floating in a bubble in the sky somewhere. A glass bubble.
Camera angles. Yeah,
it's phenomenal. But apparently it's just a green screen when you're in a small little room in Victoria under the bus station. It's good, isn't it? It's like, yeah. No, we've done those. But but Richard did say he now is going to do some more. He hasn't done that much communications. He said, why? Because we're at the place where we can. He said, we are now at 27, the fastest growing rollout. He said, this is the bit. He said, people are looking at the figures and they will be impressive, of course, year on year, because the site openings we have now compared to where we were is quite impressive. And also we're in the fourth quarter. The busiest month is December by far. And if you look at your behavior, I've got a jam-packed social calendar, boys. Absolutely jam-packed. This I'm going literally, where am I going?
sounds jam-packed.
No, I'm going to like Tottenham game because I have to go with Monty. Right, I'm going to Rugby of Wales, Georgia. I'm going to Cheltenham races. I'm going to hopefully the opening of the Oxford Street. What's it called Boom Battle Bar?
Oh, right. Where's our invite?
Richard said,
you need to play these games with people, really.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to ask him. I said, how many invites can I get on the VIP? I need
carried in like on a throne.
I need 500. How many do you want? 500. There you go, bold. And there's other things I'm doing as well. I literally haven't got any weekend now until I'm also going to Tenerife for my father because he needs someone to look after him. Sort of big company, really, you know. But
vice versa, really.
Yeah, I haven't got a spare week between now and Christmas, pretty much weekend. I'm really, and that's it. See, that's it. So this is why XP Factory is very busy over December. Because I don't know about you, but I tend to do more stuff towards Christmas. I go out more. So what, 2-3 times more? So you imagine the footfall going through those increased, added, you know, bigger footprint of sites. That's going to be very impressive. But he said, this is a year of build, though, he said. Even though the figures will be impressive, we're nowhere near where we're going to be because these sites, a lot of these sites are still opening. They won't hit maturity rates yet. So, but, you know, like the Christmas after next, for example, will be huge, even bigger, because then there'll be a lot of sites at maturity. And the sites are performing better the longer they're there for. So, So anyway. So, yeah, it's a good one. It's funny, isn't it, when sentiment goes down. When the share prices go down, sentiment goes down, everyone sort of questions the investment, which is a good time, really, because people learn more in bear markets. They tend to research more. But you realise now it starts going back up. Oh, yeah, no, this is a good business. It's amazing how sentiment can change on the flip of a coin, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, and I think there's probably people that have sold out and are now, not just talking about XP, other stocks as well, that you sell out in a panic, don't they? And then and they're now starting to regret that. And it's like, been there. Don't do that anymore. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, a lot of that is having too much exposure, isn't it? I think sometimes.
Yeah.
And if you are overexposed, I literally say, you know, 10-20% pretty much the rough guide of exposure to one stock, such as microcap stocks. If you go above that, you start then to get a bit too emotional and irrational when share price movements happen. And they will happen. You know, they have extreme movements in microcaps. And you can always tell someone who's overexposed. You know, you question a part of the business, you know, not to have a dig or deramp anywhere. You just raise a question about part of the business and they go on the defensive straight away and start having a go to you. You know, whoa, hang on, I'm just asking a question. And you see that on Twitter a lot when someone's just only holding one stock and someone questions something about it and they just really have a go at them. I mean, you're overexposed, you know, bring exposure down. You should be at the level where you don't worry and get nasty and defensive at any stock, really. You know, but there we are. There we are, boys, there we are. I tell you what, I guess you all attended the virtual TrueFin Capital Markets Day, did you?
Yeah.
What did you think, Steve?
Excellent. I thought they did really well.
Yeah, what part did you like specifically? You know?
Oh, about 20 minutes in. That was.
Yeah. I like when you give it a time marker. 20 minutes in.
They really hit their stride at that point.
Yeah, they did. I thought five minutes. Yeah, I thought 2 minutes. I thought, where are they going with this? But then they started picking up then. 5 minutes were getting bad. 10 minutes. Then 20 minutes, they're really going for it. I know.
So
what company were they on, Steve? Can you remember? Is that Stargo they were talking about?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Do you remember when they got the hats out?
Hats? Right, no. I think you're watching a different presentation, Steve.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't remember the hats. That was a different presentation.
And the monkey.
Was there a monkey involved, Steve? Because that was a different presentation if it was.
Yeah.
Steve was just sitting there watching like a circus show or something. This is good. This is a bit different. I wonder where James the CEO is, though. Where is he? Maybe they've just tried doing
it. Edinburgh to commentate it.
There's a ringmaster there. Oh, that's probably James there, the ringmaster. That's it. Excellent. Oh, I like the lions. That's good. That's good. This is my idea of a proper capital markets day. Really, but, you know, shaking it up a bit. I like this. I like that a lot. Oh, look at that elephant. That's brilliant. I wonder when they start talking about the business, though. When they start talking about the business side of it. But no, 20 minutes. No, all companies were very good. They all had the individual CEOs, the companies presenting, and all companies are impressive. And even like, sort of, even the boring companies like Virtus and Oxygen was very impressive. Actually, long term contracts, market leader pretty much. The growth upside isn't huge there, but it's profitable and it's consistent. And you know, lots of forward guidance on revenue. And even PlayStack was very good. They got software that identifies the likelihood of a game, or the higher probability of games, because they develop games, of course, from third parties, of being successful. They've got these algorithms that basically look for things in games that make them successful. It's very clever. But the mother of all is Sudago. It's phenomenal. It is the best-in-class software anywhere. And that's why, of course, Lloyd's has signed up, and Sage, two FTSE 100 companies. That's why they've grabbed it, the chance of getting there, and Lloyd's invested in it as well. And basically, if you want to achieve what Sotago does with third-party software, you need about 16 third parties to get involved. It's that complex. And I said, now with Sotago, you don't, we just need one. And it's going to be huge. And literally, what they didn't say, they put their mid-term targets, right, for this about towards 2030, for the group. They have 100 million in revenue, on EBITDA margins 30-60%. But if you look at the broker's note says the target for Sotago is 80-100 million. So I'm thinking what they're going to be doing is spinning off some of those companies, selling them off, maybe returning money to shareholders, maybe investing more in Sotago. But Sotago is the one. It literally can be, you know, global. Globally, I mean, there's a say already they're talking to banks in the Middle East, banks in Europe. But of course, they've got to get this Lloyd's Sage when working first, because it's just gone commercial, so they've got to focus on that a bit. But yeah, it's really impressive software, so I like a lot. That's it.
When's Biome going to be profitable now?
Biome, they're so annoying. I dumped Biome.
This is the first time I looked at my portfolio for about a month.
Yeah, I dumped the crap out of Biome after they came out with a month before they were happy with significant uptick in the revenues in the second half. That was in August. In September, no, we're not going to be doing that now. That's the second or third time they said that now. I try not to...
Have you heard from them since?
No, I haven't even spoken to them. I don't want to even bother. Once I dump a company, I literally take it off on my watch list, get rid of it. If I give them a second chance and they fail on that, right? I give them one chance, there's a second chance they fail, that out. That's it. I'm out of the company. I don't care. They may bounce back. It may be the best company of all. It may rally. But once that happens, I'm just out. It's like never go back to an old girlfriend, pretty much, you know.
Well, you definitely have.
Pretty much, yeah. You may have a dabble, you know, a week after and think, and then realise, oh, no, that's confirmation of why I left, actually, or why we broke up, you know. But, yeah, I'll never do that. But you know what's annoying? Last few weeks I've been waiting for the results from E-Energy, right? And here's a simple fact here. I don't know if you watched my video last weekend about in this market, there's three expectations that happen when a company releases news. You know, there's a... exceeding expectations, meeting them, or below them. And that's measured against the broker notes. You know, brokers come out, they meet with the company, and they get together and sort of come up with some guidance for the year end. Really small companies don't even have broker notes, really, but these half-decent companies do. And so it's all measured against that. Will you exceed them? Will you meet, or will you be below them? And in this market, even if you meet and hit those targets, you could get sold into, because people are scared to hold stock. You know, so anything rallies. If you go below expectations, you will get hammered. You literally go down, you know, anything from 30-60% probably, even more. You know, I've seen companies take a massive hammering. The only way you can guarantee your share price go up is by beating expectations. And literally, if you look at the figures, I've worked this out, the figures that E-Energy have released already suggest to me they're going to exceed expectations. Why do I say that? Because they've already got 39% of revenue contracted for the year, for 2023, before they started. Now, that's about 11-point-something million already contracted. That means they'll have to achieve 18-point-something million to hit their target revenue of 30.5. What is that per quarter? About 4.6 million per quarter. How much did they do last quarter? 8.3 million. The quarter before, 8.4 million. So averaging over 8 million a quarter, and all they have to achieve is 4.6 million. Investing is all about probabilities, but gambling, like life is. But how high a probability, you know, can you achieve the chance of success? Now, that's a high probability they will exceed expectations. But I'm waiting for the news to come out. But, and they haven't been any less busy. Like I said, the energy market for companies is still a big concern. ONS came out with over a fifth of companies. Their main concern is not selling product. It's not, you know, labour costs. Their main concern is energy. And like I said, in 2021, they were buying energy at 50 megawatts. Even with the government cap, it's 211. It's four times the price of what they were buying at last year. So, of course, it's a major concern. And so I think they can't get any busier. And I think they'll do very well on the results. So I'm looking forward to that. That should be very soon. There's, right now, those are my core holdings of those companies there. Oh, boys, have you seen XPF, ENG, and Truefin? That's a lot. Have you seen that programme on Netflix called Eat the Rich?
Yeah. What? Eat the Rich?
No. Eat the Rich GameStop, yeah.
Oh, yes, I started watching that, yeah.
Are you aware of GameStop, the thing that happened there, Steve?
Yeah, I'm aware of that story, but I've not seen that.
Are you aware of it, Pad, what happened there?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how widely known. I watch CNBC and all that stuff. So
it was big news.
So essentially, GameStop is like almost a Blockbuster Video of games, isn't it? It had physical stores where people would go in and swap out games, and you realise this is an old format. It's not doing very well, and it's a business you wouldn't invest in. You know, it's like you know it's going the wrong way. Everything else is going to the cloud, digital, all that stuff. You know, whatever, it's going the wrong way, and it was shorted. Of course, people are betting the price will go down by a huge amount of investors. In fact, with one guy looked it up. It's worth looking at. He said, I noticed the short on, like, for example, at the moment, Boohoo, I think, is the most shorted stock on the stock exchange. It's 10% of his stock is shorted. There's people have loaned out shares, betting against it, right? GameStop, this guy said, looked up, 117% of his stock was shorted. I said, how is that possible? How can there be 117% of the stock shorted? Doesn't make any sense, does it? You can only have 100% of the stock. And he realised some people had actually loaned out their short their stock to other people. So it leveraged it up pretty much. And when he sees that happening, if you have any good news come up from the company, the share price goes up. Those shorts are going to have to cover. The shorts, that means they've been loaned stock, and they have to buy the stock back up and then sell it. Buy the stock back and give that stock to the person they loaned it off. So you have double pressure. First of all, you have them buying back up and then stopping the short. So you have a bounce effect that's massive. And that's what happened to GameStop's share price. It went through the roof. And everyone started jumping onto it, all the Reddit crowd, even Elon Musk mentioned it. So people were already getting behind it. And it did amazing returns. And this guy, I can't remember the figures. I think it was like 30,000. I think he turned into 3.5 million or something like that. He'd probably lose it again, but... But it's very interesting. Very interesting to watch how the hedge funds, who were basically short, losing lots of money against the retail crowd, who said, GameStop. It went to the roof, you know. Everyone was doing videos on it every day. It was like Bitcoin, you know, going crazy. But it's worth a watch. Eat the Rich, GameStop, it's called on Netflix. Definitely worth thing. Do you know what? Part of me looking at Boohoo at the moment. Right? Boohoo's had a torrid time. Their share price has gone down 90%. And I'm thinking, Boohoo, do you remember when Boohoo was like, if only could get into that stock? Because that's been one of the darlings of the stock market. It's been 10 bagger, 20 bagger, I think. But it's gone from 360 to like 36 pence. And there's short covering in that. And I think they are improving on their automation, right, and getting more efficient. And I'm thinking, right, once they have some figures come out from that, it's to start a rally, and the shorts will have to cover. So you may see an aggressive bounce there, not as big as GameStop, of course, but it's a good business. It was a very good business, you know. But they've had, you know, shipping costs have gone up. They've had people returning more. The cost of living squeezed a little bit. So they've had, same with ASOS. And I'm thinking that's one to keep an eye on chart-wise and just, you know, fundamental-wise, because if it goes anywhere back to its, you know, former glory, you're talking at least five bags there, you know. So...
There's a 440 market cap.
Yeah, it's a 440 million, but it's doing like 1.9 billion in sales, you know. So and so it's like 0.4 of sales. It's really undervalued. Well, at the moment they made a loss last year, which they've never done before, ever made a loss. But they did, I think for the year, they did 1.2 billion of sales in 2022 to February. Their half year was like 882 million worth of sales. But they made just an operating loss of 11.8 million. But they've got cash of 314 million. They took on a bit of debt. So they're safe, pretty much safe as a company, and they're doing the right things. They're automating their warehousing and all that stuff, so that will help margins. But I think if that goes, it could really move quickly. But I was just thinking, if I was watching GameStop, automatically I thought, what's the most shorted company in the UK? It's Boohoo. Nowhere near as shorted like GameStop was, because only 10%. But worth keeping an eye on and worth watching the programme. Anything else, boys? Anything else we're watching? I've given you two recommendations, This England and Eat the Rich, GameStop. Anything from you, Steve, Pete, Pad?
Finished watching the Jeffrey Dahmer drama on Netflix. That's very good.
Mm.
Very shocking.
Dahmer drama. We started watching that, but in the end, Megan started eating something and she couldn't eat anymore. So we had to switch it over because literally he was eating people, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's quite gruesome.
Fancy living next door to that guy, like that lady. She reported him, didn't she? Reported him a few times and the police didn't take it seriously. He's in there eating people. And he said once, didn't he? It's at the start. So Jeffrey, that stinks. What is that? Because they were living in this sort of apartment block. He said, yeah, I had some bad pork sent to me. and then the next time he said, yeah, but you said threw that pork out. Oh, no, yeah, I had a tropical fish die. And like, it was stinking across the entire corridor. One tropical fish die. He's blaming on the thing. And then how many times can you keep making excuses? You're killing people. They're in the fridge and everything. And then, yeah, it's a gruesome thing. It's horrible. Of course, real life, Jeffrey. Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer drama. You been watching anything, Pete? Pad?
No.
Okay. Pad, in a sentence, then, what's the answer to the politics here? What would you do going forward? If you had ultimate rule, if you were King Charles and you had ultimate rule, and said, right, listen, so it's gone on long enough, like two, you know, like basically a bunch of toddlers squabbling in a play school room, what would you say? What would you say? What would you do now?
Call a general election.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, like short, medium term, like short term, you've got to stabilise things, right? But you also got to like get these idiots out. That's first job. Get these idiots out, and then change the voting system so they can never get back in. Yeah. That would be my next big policy. Yeah. And then I think like long term, you've got to give people some hope. Like there's got to, like we've had generations now where people just in towns and cities across the UK just don't have any opportunities. If you're going to get the country at £150 billion worth of debt, that's got to go on skills and education rather than into the back pockets of energy companies. That would be my number one policy.
Okay, come on, Pad, run for King Charles. No, whatever, you know. Local. When you get involved in politics, Pat, at a local level, grassroots, you like it a lot. It ticks your boxes, gets your passion going, you know? Why not?
I know, but the problem is at the local level in Croydon, it's not massively inspiring.
Well, have you checked it out?
Yeah.
What's wrong with them?
It's like local politics in Croydon is very
violent.
Violent, yeah. It's just very like this, like the. There's well-meaning people, but lots of politics involved. There's lots of egos. There's lots of people who have been in the council for years and years and years and aren't going anywhere. And it just looks exhausting to try and change any of that, to be honest.
I know what you mean. But do you know what? Common sense, honestly, speaks louder than, you know, egomaniacs who are doing it for themselves. In the end, it'll cut through. You'll say, listen, no, this is the problem. This is how we deal with it. What's the problem? How do we deal with it? That's the thing, isn't it? It's like, it was nuts. In fact, right now, Andrew Neil is reporting on Twitter, Chancellor Hunt's message to Sky News was clear. Prepare for major real-term spending cuts and maybe further tax rises too. Trustonomics is dead. But we've gone through austerity. It didn't work. You know that. Part of the plan was good. Other parts of the plan wasn't good. You know, look at the things. How can we stimulate the economy going forward for the long term? Investing in people. Being innovative, cutting-edge economy, where, you know, the best in tech is coming out. Green energy, we're a winner in that area. In fact, Starmer and Reeves are speaking towards that, aren't they? That's their sort of goal. So maybe, you know, maybe it's way over time for change, I think. And
I think what we need is an economist as a chancellor. That would help us.
Yeah, that'd be a good start.
Yeah, but even they can get it wrong. Look at Andrew Bailey.
Well, yeah, but they're just more informed and balanced. And
But also, they've got to be in touch with... The trouble is, Andrew Bailey, right? He's on, about 400,000 or 800,000 a year. And he was there saying, don't give pay rises to people. I said, what? Yeah. It's okay you saying that in your golden chair in the Bank of England, you know, with money raining down on your head. There's people who can't afford to put their heating on or eat food or whatever. Do you tell them that, working in a supermarket, what are they doing? It's that they can't afford. They need a pay rise because of inflation. And largely it's because of QE, quantitative easing, which you started, you maniac. printing money, which inflated the stock market, pushed up all asset prices, and that was the result. It is QE. It's not, they're all blaming Ukraine and Russia. It was QE. I mean, you can see the charts. I mean, I've overlaid a money supply chart against the S&P 500. When money piles in from the Fed and the central banks, the stock market went up. Full stop. And you can't deny
QE
that.
QE was a reaction to the 2008 financial meltdown,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, so, it was to over-leveraged banks to being greedy.
You want to go right back to the start. It's just down to bankers' greed. It's down to not enough regulation in banking. That's the starting point.
Exactly.
So the idea that having less regulation is the answer to this whole thing just... is mental.
So you've got to get the right person for the right job. That's it. I mean, Andrew Bailey, I'm not quite convinced. Like I said, he wasn't there previously. He was on the Monetary Policy Committee, I think. But exactly. The deregulation of the bankers, basically bankers took more risks for bigger bonuses. The whole thing collapsed. Then they were bailed out by central banks. So hang on, a lot of those people are economists. It's just getting the right person, isn't it, for the right job. At the moment, they haven't had it with Tories for so long, but they've still stayed in power. Starmer's got an open goal here. You can be scared he misses the open goal because it's right there in front of him. Starmer, you mustn't miss this. This is
is like the whole thing at the moment is them. I think them timing their run, isn't it? They're just there's no point in releasing too many policies now because they'll just get shot down. And so, I do understand it. It's frustrating not being able to see like a ready-made government there, ready to go. But if they were to present everything right now, then, you know, they'd just be beaten up by it for the next 18 months.
What you do want, final word, what you do want is, do you remember when, was it Atlanta or Los Angeles hosted the Football World Cup way back when? And
Diana
then
Ross.
Diana Ross had a big goal, massive goal area, bigger than a normal goal, inflatable goal, and a big ball. And she sang a song, come on, trying to kick this big ball through the goal, and she missed. And then, Kostama! That's what you do, what is that? You know? So literally, the goal is there, the ball is there. We couldn't have made the goal bigger, the ball is big. Just kicking, she missed it. That's a good set of start, isn't it? Don't be the next Diana Ross. There we are.
Lovely.
All right. Thanks, lads. I'm taking Fred fishing now. You're not in France, Pat, are you?
I've got the heating on.
What?
Well, I'm just testing the heating. I've just had to relay some heating pipes. Well, I've just have to have it running for like an hour just to test that I've done it properly before I put the floor back down.
I've got my heated blanket, which you recommended, on my leg right now, on my legs in the office.
They're so good, aren't they?
Yes. Oh, they work.
I think I'm going to buy a second one.
Yeah, maybe.
They need to be bigger, don't they?
I'm looking at bodysuits now, you know, just all encompassing, hands, feet.
What I've done is switch off all my heating, and I've come to France, and it's 25 degrees today.
Yeah, that's good.
And a heated pool,
Maybe that's worth it. Yeah, in fact, just advise that the people who can't afford heating in this country, why not go to France, South France, with a villa? That's really out of touch, a politician. Why not go to South of France and hire a villa? That's all sorted. There we are.
I'll come out next week, Pete.
What was that?
I'll come out next week.
Okay, perfect.
And me and the wife and the kids. All right, then. Right.
Feel free.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.